Good morning. Good morning. Praise God. I'm glad that you're joining us out there this morning. I have a powerful word to bring to you this morning. I'm going to ask you to get something to write with. All right? I need you to get a notepad or something to write with and a pen, because I'm going to be making some statements today, and I'll be telling you, write this down, because I really want you to be able to go back and to re-look at these statements that I'll be making. They're going to be very powerful. I just don't want to make it like a preachy thing. I really want you to get a hold of these things. They are life-changing statements. My sermon title this morning is called Panic Attack. Now, I wanted to share with you that I have had a couple of panic attacks, and I'm going to tell you exactly what it feels like and in my life why it happened. When we left working on the cruise ships, as you know, we lost most of our finances that we had invested in an oil one, the coal mine, and then after a few years, we got the payout from the coal mine, and you know the testimony. Well, when God told me to start the Promised Church, we took $70,000 from that portion that we got back from the coal mine, and we put it into the church. And that's how we started the Promise. We bought all the equipment, all the chairs, rented facilities, hired staff, and so on and so forth. Well, the rest of the money I put into a risky investment. I know, stupid me. I know. Whip me. I know. It's stupid me. After all these years, you would think I'd know better. But nevertheless, I put into a risky investment, and it looked like we were going to lose it all. And what happened is one night, I had a panic attack. And this is what happened. I woke up with my heart thumping in my throat. I couldn't breathe. I felt like an elephant was sitting on my chest. And I was wet from my head to my feet. My pores opened up, and I just sweated. I mean, it just came out, the sheet, everything. And it happened instantly. It didn't take a while to get there. When I opened my eyes, that's the condition I was in. I was also extremely nauseous. And if there's anything I hate worse, then there's nothing I hate worse than throwing up. I crawled out of bed, and I went to the toilet, put my head in the bowl, and nothing came out. I'm not sure if I was glad about that or not, but I eventually lay down. I took my shirt off. I lay down on the cold tile floor trying to get some coolness because my body was so hot. I thought I had suddenly got sick, but I knew that I was having a panic attack. There's just no doubt about it. This thing had come on suddenly. But the thing is this, it had been building in my life. It just didn't happen out of the blue for no reason. Fear had been building in my life, and I hadn't dealt with it. I hadn't dealt with the problems. I kept on thinking about the what-ifs and where this is going to go and the worst-case scenario. So while I'm lying on the floor in the toilet, the Holy Spirit chooses to speak to me. I'm glad He did. I'm glad He did. And I'm going to tell you what He said, and I want you to write it down, because even if you've never had a panic attack, I think that what He said to me was appropriate. The Holy Spirit said to me, think about God's ability, not your inability. So I'm lying on the floor, can't breathe. I'm in this terrible condition. He says to me, think about God's ability, not your inability. Then He said, meditate on God's promises, not your problems. And really what had been happening is that I had been meditating on the problems. And then He made this profound statement to me. He said, it's not your problems that are going to sink you. It's not meditating on the promises that will. Because it doesn't matter how big your problem is, if you'll meditate on the promises, they are more powerful than the problem, and you will overcome and you will get out. Now, you might not have had a panic attack. And this might sound very, very severe to you. But it's possible that right now there's a fear of dread hanging on you. Perhaps you are unemployed, and maybe you haven't received an unemployment check. Perhaps you haven't received the stimulus check, the $1,200 and whatever else that comes with it for your spouse and your children. Maybe you haven't received that. Maybe you're concerned that your business is going to go under. Maybe you're concerned that your job will never be there when things open up again, because perhaps the business is going to be gone and you're not going to be able to find a job. And then you may be under the dread of actually catching the coronavirus, which is the big thing right now that's causing a lot of problems in people's lives. So remember this, meditating on the problem is called worry, and it will cause anxiety, stress, and fear. You've got to get off meditating on the problem. You know, over 70 places in the scripture, the Bible says, God says, do not fear. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. And I ask this question, why would he say that? And he has the answer, because you can. It's that simple. If God says you can, then you can. And if he says to you, don't be afraid and don't fear, then obviously you can. So for you to have the thoughts that say, well, I can't stop it, that's not true. That's not true. Because God said you can. If he says, don't worry, you don't have to. If he says, don't be afraid, you don't have to. And we're going to deal with that a little more as we go along. You know, this COVID-19 is getting such press coverage, in particular with concern to the death element. The fear of death is the central key to what is being magnified in the press releases. So I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you are afraid of dying from the flu? Are you afraid of dying from the flu?
No.
Well, I could say you should be, but I don't want to say that, obviously, because more people are dying from the flu every year who get the vaccine.
Yes. Come on.
Hello?
Yes.
More people are getting sick who get the vaccine. So don't be thinking the vaccine is a fix-it-all or a cure-it-all, because you know that that's not true. The flu vaccine has been around for a long time, but people are still afraid, and more people are dying from flu. Are you afraid of dying by car accident? You know how many thousands of people die by car accidents in America? Over 30,000 a year. Are you afraid of dying by somebody attacking you? Perhaps you're not. Perhaps you're not. Let me just say this. We do not live in a risk-free world. People, this is not heaven. This is not heaven. This is earth. And the devil's running around with all these demons. And you've got half the world unsaved who have been used by Satan. Remember, Satan works through flesh and blood. That's who we're wrestling, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, the forces that behind flesh and blood. These people, wicked people, are now being released out of prison, and they're going around murdering and killing people. So we don't live in a world that's free from risk. So we need to understand that. Since when have we ever got out of bed in the morning and go, wow, this is like heaven? Never afraid of anything's going to happen. Well, I'm not asking you to be afraid. Jesus said that in this world you'll have troubles. But he also said, be of good cheer, I've overcome this world. So we use our faith to overcome the world and the problems that come against us. We should be doing that every day, whether there's a COVID-19 around or whether there isn't. And we should have been practicing on smaller issues. So when the big issue comes, we're ready to go. You know, Christina Jepson, you all know who she is, married to Dr. Chris. Well, you know, she gets up every morning and leaves home at 3 o'clock in the morning to get to work, because she's an anchor at Fox News very early in the morning, Fox 5. And she pulled up a traffic light this week. It was red. She's waiting to cross over. And as it turned green, she had a nudge in her spirit. Don't go. There's no cars. It's empty. Don't go. Why wouldn't you go? It's a green light. But she had the nudge. Don't go. And just then, an 18-wheeler came through the red light, traveling between 50 and 60 miles an hour. Would have killed her. Would be no doubt. If she pulled off just the regular speed, she'd have been dead. So, thank God for Bible college, because she learned how to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, how to obey the nudge of the Holy Spirit, and it saved her life. Christina, make a note of this. Write it down in your journals. These are one of the stories you can use when you get to preach. I've used it now, but you can use it again. No problem. Stories are good like this. Okay? Well, we're so glad that you're alive today. Because you know what? Many other Christians wouldn't have heard or wouldn't have listened or wouldn't have obeyed. And guess what? They'd be in heaven today. And then people would be asking, but they were a good person. How come they died? And now you know why. God warned her. Don't do this. So we do not live in a risk-free environment. And we have to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Now, come with me to a scripture, please. It's in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. Because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood, for only as a human being could he die. And only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Watch this. Jesus broke the power of the devil who had the power of death. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. Thoughts of death will make you vulnerable to the power of death. The fear of death will take you captive. The fear of death will take you captive. Why should we fear death? Listen, we have been set free from it. According to the scripture, we have been set free from the power of death. Just like we've been set free from the power of sickness. When Jesus went to the cross, he paid the price for our healing. So by his stripes, we are healed. At the same time, he paid the price by defeating Satan for our freedom from the fear of death. So now, Christians who don't understand that you can believe for healing also don't understand you can believe to be free from the power of death, or the fear of death, I should rather say. Okay, so don't allow the fear of death to dominate your thinking. You don't allow sickness to dominate you, do you? When you get sick, don't you come against it? Don't you believe by the stripes of Jesus? Don't you use the name of Jesus? Well, let's resist fear the same way, especially the fear of death. Yeah, this is so funny to me. People say to me all the time, you know, so looking forward to going to heaven. Looking forward to going to heaven. Yeah, but I don't want to die. Yeah, don't want to die to get there. Because it's a fear of death. It's a fear of death. But we don't have to fear death. Listen to what the scripture says in Philippians 1 and 21. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now, it takes a lot of faith to do that. Now, I understand, people. I understand that when you pass out of this world, there are loved ones that you leave behind who are grieved by the fact that you've departed. I understand that. Spouses, children, parents, whatever it is. Death is never pleasant. It's called the last enemy that's going to be put under the feet of Jesus. But at least we have a hope to where we're going, and the people left behind know where we've gone so that they can say, well, I'll see you one day, Mom. I'll see you one day, Dad. I'll see you one day, bro. I'll see you one day, sis, whatever it is. You're going to see them again. Amen? So it does take that sting of death out. Now, I'm going to give you an acronym for fear, and I'm sure you've heard it. It's not original with me. It's been around as long as the hills. And here it is, the acronym for fear: false evidence appearing real. Say with me, false evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. So, if you imagine that you heard a noise outside your house, it's nighttime, and you thought you heard a lion outside your house, in the yard somewhere, I'm sure you're not going to go out and look. But you know what's going to happen to you? Because you imagined there was a lion, your body and your emotions and your mind and your thoughts reacted as if there was a lion. Because your imagination and your mind can't distinguish between what you imagined and what's real. Your senses respond just as though it was so. And that is why false evidence appearing real will put you in the position where you think it's real, even though it's false evidence. And I'm going to launch from that into my little talk this morning about COVID-19. All right? So buckle up. I want to share some information with you. I'm sure you probably saw Dr. Atlas this week. He appeared a few times. He's a senior fellow at Stanford University and also the chief radiologist at the Stanford Medical Center. I'm going to quote some of his information. So this is not mine. This is directly from him. The projections of a 20% jump in the cases of the COVID-19 when we reopen the economy is based on, listen to his words, sensational hypothetical models. What the data really shows, he says, is that the policy of isolation is destructive and literally killing people. I'm quoting this profound doctor. I did not know this information, and it's a huge number, but 150,000 people per month in America are diagnosed with cancer. Per month, diagnosed with cancer. Now, here's the big problem, he says. They're not being diagnosed because they're too afraid to go to hospital. So they're missing their diagnosis, which is going to put them in a real difficult place. He said 20% of the hospitals right now, well, actually, he said the hospitals are running at 20% occupancy because people are too scared to go in. So what he said is going on, he said that people are dying at home from stroke because they have hypertension, something's going on, they feel the pain in their heart, whatever it is, but they don't go in, they don't call 911, people are dying of heart attacks, people are dying of gallbladder stones, all kinds of stuff, infections go through their body because they're too afraid to go to hospital in case they get coronavirus and die. So the choice is, do I die of a heart attack or do I die of the virus? This is insane. This is what's going on right now. So most politicians are medically naive. What do I mean? They are instilling into the public a bizarre notion that we must stop COVID-19 virus at all costs or at any costs. But hear me now, the cure of the shutting and locking us down and the cure of shutting down the economy is actually worse than the cause. We live in San Diego, for those who don't know where we're preaching from this morning. 25% of our 3.3 million people are unemployed in San Diego. Why? Because the economy has been shut down. And many of the small businesses here are not going to reopen because they're not going to be able to reopen. Now, I might be accused of being non-caring, insensitive, because I want to expose this false narrative, want to get the economy up and running again before it's too late, and want to reopen the churches. Well, you know what? I think that's ironic that I would be accused of being uncaring. I have given my whole life to people because I care about people. Nothing has changed. I'm just trying to deal with false evidence appearing real to try and explain to people really what is going on. Hey, I'm a pastor. That's what I do. I help people understand what the heck is going on. Can't swear in church. I care about the children being molested at home. I care about the wives and the girlfriends being abused because they're shut in with a monster. I care about people turning to alcohol as a solution or drugs, and then because they still can't find a solution, they commit suicide. I care about these people. I'm trying to prevent what is going on because it's becoming worse than the original virus. There's no doubt in my mind that it's becoming worse. I want to share a little story, and it's very sad, and I just want to say to LaCheryl, our condolences to you from the whole Promise Family Church. We love you. This week, I called LaCheryl. I called different people at different times, just as I feel prompted by the Holy Spirit to call and find out how they're going. When I pray, as I told you, people's names will come to me. And I called her this week, and I spoke with her. And many of you know that she had a very, very close relationship with a gentleman by the name of Al. And for many, many years, she took care of this gentleman. Well, he unfortunately passed last Thursday. He had sugar diabetes, He also had dementia. He was placed in a home for the elderly. He was in his mid-80s, around about 86 years old. He went to hospital. She went and visited him in hospital. And he was in good spirits. And then she said, I'll come and visit you in the home. She went and visited him in the home and said, I'll come back and visit you. And before she could get back, the COVID-19 pandemic broke. So he was locked in this home, in his one little room, couldn't go out, not even to the lobby, couldn't go out in the sunshine, couldn't speak to anybody else in the home. Every single person was isolated. You need to understand what is going on in these places. They are quarantined in their own room, a 10 by 10 or a 10 by 20 little room, maybe 200 foot room. And that's where they have been for months. And what happened to him? He became so depressed. He already had diabetes and he already had dementia. He decided he wanted to end it. So he stopped eating and he stopped drinking and he passed on. And she could not get to see him. LeCheryl, our heart goes out to you, my girl. I'm sharing this deeply troubling story from someone in our own congregation who we love dearly, because she could have got to see him had this pandemic not done what it did and had people been allowed to go in. But because of the fear, she wasn't. People held the doors closed. Every loss of life is tragic. Every loss of life is tragic. But to think that a policy or a group of people can prevent every death from the virus is naive. It cannot happen. The risk of someone dying from the COVID-19 will never be eradicated. Never be eradicated. It's going to be with us forever. And this is my concern moving forward. The social distancing restriction that's been put on the world, in every restaurant, in every business, I think it's going to be here to stay. People flying, all of these things, they're all taking into consideration the social distancing, because in a few months' time, we're back in the fall season. And if they're not lifting it now in summer, and we know that in summer, if you go outside for a few minutes, maybe 30 minutes in the sun, it kills it at 80 degrees. We take Jackie out every day. We put her in the sun for about 15 minutes every single day because we're trying to get her to the best healthy condition she can get. Amen? So, you know, if wearing a mask, and so I'm going to go on a little bit, okay? You're not going anywhere. You're at home already. You can't, like, get up and walk out. You're already at home. So listen to me. If wearing a mask can prevent the transfer of a virus and protect somebody from the virus, then here's my thought. Quarantine every smoker, because we know medically that smoking causes cancer, and so does secondhand smoke cause cancer. And I just told you 150,000 people a month are being diagnosed of cancer. Quarantine cigarette smokers. Hey, that makes sense to me. I don't know, but okay, to quote Dr. Atlas, there are more people being devastated by the cure. He said that the United Nations have projected 125 million people will go into starvation because of the COVID-19 pandemic and the shutdown of the economy. Now listen, he didn't say going to poverty. He said going to starvation. That is having less than $5 a day to eat and to feed themselves and pay rent and do whatever it is. 125 million will do that. We are in constant touch with Sister Padma. If you could only see the videos that she's sending us, you would not believe your eyes. People are dying and starving to death because they've been locked in their house. And police are guarding the streets with guns. You cannot go out of your house even to get food. She gets out, and there's some pastors that won't even drive her to feed the people that are starving. But she gets out and she goes to feed the people that are starving. I've got pictures from South Africa. People are standing in line 4 to 6 hours, no social distancing, crowding together to get a bag of food. That's how desperate the situation is in South Africa. And the LA mayor this week shut down LA County for another 3 months till August the 1st. I don't understand why they would do that. There's no reason, there's no logic behind what's going on. And let me just say this. People who say, well, when the vaccine comes, a vaccine is not a cure at all. It is not a magic bullet. I don't even take the flu vaccine. I know Hayne and Anya took the flu vaccine on the ship one time because they're compelled to take it as crew. And they got violently sick from taking the flu vaccine. I know people in our church whose children were given the vaccine and who got violently sick. There's some bizarre, irrational fear and fixation on the COVID-19 cure. There's been no cure or vaccine for AIDS, or for SARS, or for Ebola. None of them. They're in a society, we live with it. And why do you think that a vaccine is going to solve all the problems concerning the COVID-19? It isn't going to solve the problems. I, for one, am not taking it. And so they can produce 300 million. I don't care. Because I don't think 300 million Americans are going to take it. We're not that stupid. We're just not. We're smarter than that. And I mean, you may turn me off right now. You may think I'm stupid. That's okay. That's okay. I got my faith in God, not in a vaccine. Why are so many medical experts, and I'm nearly finished my rant, okay? Why are so many medical experts turning their back and rejecting fundamental facts and data? Do you know why? Because they've already made up their mind what they believe. And they don't want the real facts to confuse them. As Cindy said earlier in the offering, that the San Diego County County Supervisor Jim Desmond, he came out this week and said only 6 out of the 194 deaths are actually purely, solely COVID-19 deaths. The rest of the people had some other underlying problems. People are seeing the truth. I don't know if you saw this, but the Colorado has amended the amount of people that they claim have died by the coronavirus by 30%. They've reduced the number by 30%. That's a lot of people. They said, well, they died for some other reason, even though they may have had tested positive for the CV virus. It's not what killed them. You know that New York hospitals that have been built by the army have all been dismantled. It cost over $300 million to build all these hospitals. One of them, 1,000-bed hospital, had 6 people in it. One who had 2,500 beds only had 137 people in it. We've now produced 1 billion masks, and we're exporting all the excess ventilators because we don't need them. We don't use them. Both the Mercy and the Comfort medical ships have been sent back because they weren't used. A few people got in it, went there, and it wasn't used. Why? Why? Why weren't they used? Because of hypothetical models. Projected millions of people are going to die, causing fear to rampage through our nation and around the world. And it's all proved to be false. False. Why? Because they want to take everybody captive. Listen to me clearly. Policies that affect the entire country or the whole world should be based not on theories or hypothetical models, but on evidence, real evidence, actual data. Do you know this? Less than 1% of all the deaths, less than 1% are under 45 years of age. In other words, if you're 45 or younger, there's a 1% of all of the deaths on that age category. Do you want to know about children? It is so close to zero, you might as well call it zero. That is children. Yes, there have been a few children that have died, and I'm not making light of it. But if you take it overall, and you're so afraid that your children are going to get sick, you need to understand something. It is more likely that something other than a virus is going to get hold of your child. Child could get killed in many other ways, and I don't want to talk about that. But 99% of all deaths that have occurred, even in America and around the world, are people who are 60 or 65 and older and have underlying medical conditions. So please, bear that in mind. You know what? Let's focus on protecting the most vulnerable and let my people go. Amen. That's what Moses said. Let my people go in Jesus' name. What happened to rational common sense? Why is it okay for people to congregate at Walmart and Costco and Vons and Ralph's and so on, but not at church? False evidence appearing real. Amen? And a shout out there to Melody with your t-shirt. Churches are essential. Come on. And we've got a picture. Look there. Come on. I love it. Get yourself a t-shirt. Start wearing those. Amen? All right. Enough about that. Let's get back to the Word of God. But I know that's good for you to hear it. I know that you hear all this information anywhere, but it's good to have it summarized and give it to you so briefly. 2 days before Jackie was taken into ICU because she had a myasthenia gravis complete breakdown, a crisis occurred. She couldn't swallow anything, not even liquid, and she could not breathe. 2 days before this happened, she said these words, and you might want to write these words down. The devil can scare us, but he doesn't control us. Yeah? Just because you have a scare when you're driving your car and you have a near accident, that should not control you for the rest of your life. And you don't drive anymore after that. Don't let the devil control you. He may be able to scare you. Now, a panic attack, like the one that I had, is the devil scaring me into believing the worst. A panic attack is like the outworking of being scared because you keep on focusing on what is worse. At one time, I became very discouraged. I was depressed. I kept on thinking, and the devil kept fanning the flame of the thoughts that Jackie was going to die. It was a very, very bad time. She was getting worse. Everything was getting worse in the natural. And there was no turnaround. There was no floor that we were going to get. It just went every day. It got worse and worse and more problems. It was a Sunday morning. And I was trying to pray because I had to come to church and preach. And I called out to God with tears. And I said, I can't pray. I'm done. Maybe you've ever reached that place where the problems become so much and you've tried for so long. And in a split second, the Holy Spirit showed me a picture of Jairus coming to Jesus. And he said, I want you to come pray for my daughter. Come pray for her that she would live. And while they were waiting on their way to Jairus' home, the news came that his daughter had died. Don't bother them ask anymore. The daughter has died. Here's the scripture I want to pick up on. Jesus speaks to Jairus, and this is what he says in Mark chapter 5, verse 36. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. The Holy Spirit showed me in that split second that Jesus actually commanded Jairus. That was a command. It wasn't a suggestion. Do not be afraid, only believe. Write this down. Make a decision not to fear, but to believe. Because you can make the decision. And that is what the Holy Spirit said to me. I must make the decision right there in the depths of my depression, in the depths of my despair, when I felt there was no hope, there was no way out. He said to me, Henry, make the decision now not to fear, but to believe, otherwise Jackie will die. Had Jairus not listened to what Jesus said, his daughter would have died. I'm telling you right now. And there's some of you listening to me. and you're in such a situation, you've got to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. If you don't make the decision to stop fearing and to believe, something traumatic is going to happen. Because it's only your faith that's keeping you safe. He heard bad news. And you see, when you hear bad news, what goes off in your head are thoughts. And that's what happened to him. Those thoughts that go off in your head, it causes sadness. It causes fear, causes anxiety, causes depression. Would it cost him his daughter's life? Write this down. What your mind contemplates, your spirit activates. Write it down. I want you to ponder this. I want you to think about this. What your mind contemplates, your spirit activates. Your spirit does what your mind tells it to do because it believes that's what you want. Your spirit is a servant to you, and it will do what you tell it to do. What you imagine, what you think about, it will go and do. It's like the soil producing the seed that you plant in it. The soil doesn't argue what seed you have planted. The soil doesn't say, I don't want marijuana seed, I want corn. It doesn't know. It produces thorns, marijuana, and corn. The soil will produce. Your spirit man will produce the thoughts that you meditate on. Number two, write this down. The battle is for your mind and in your mind. The battle is for your mind and in your mind. That's where it's taking place. The battle's taking place right between your two ears. Your thoughts. Satan is trying to get hold of your thoughts. Now write this down. You know what a renewed mind means and what an unrenewed mind means. You know what it means. And to make a statement now that is so powerful. The unrenewed mind causes the death of the thinker. And now you know why I told you to write these things down. Because I don't want to just be preaching and, whoa, that was powerful and gone. No, no. Write these down because I want you to think about them. I want you to meditate them. I want them to change your life. The unrenewed mind causes the death of the thinker. The unrenewed mind doesn't understand it's God's will to heal them, so they don't resist sickness. The unrenewed mind doesn't understand that it's God's will to prosper them, so they don't resist poverty. The unrenewed mind doesn't understand it's not God's will for you to fear or to be afraid, so it entertains it. I had to make a decision. Not to doubt, not to fear, but to believe. Now, Both hope and fear are emotions dealing with the future. Both to do with the future. So write this down. Fear is the expectation of hurt, of harm, and loss. Fear expects hurt. Fear expects loss. Fear expects harm. And that's why you feel the way you feel. Because you're looking forward to a devastating time. That's called fear. On the other hand, hope, and write this down, hope is the expectation of provision, of plenty, and of protection. Hope expects protection. Hope expects God's provision. Hope expects plenty, because nobody hopes for bad stuff. We hope for good stuff. Hope and fear are both unseen forces that are generated out of our soul, out of our mind. It comes from our will and our emotions. I hope you're not tired of writing things down. I've got three more for you. Are you ready? Fear is the absence of hope. There's no neutral ground. You're either in hope or you're in fear. No neutral ground. Fear is the absence of hope. Here's another one. Write this down. Fear is caused by limited thinking. You think God can't. You limit God's ability. And it produces fear in your life. How many of you know that the ability of God supersedes our limited thinking? Yes. Everyone know that? So don't limit God by your limited thinking. Don't put the brakes on God. The ability of God supersedes our limited thinking. And fear is caused by limited thinking. So don't stay in that realm of limited thinking. The trouble that we face in this world and the trouble that we're seeing right now will test your faith. I want to say something categorically, and again, you might want to write this down. God is not testing you. The circumstances are testing your faith. People are saying, well, where's God in this? Is God doing this? What's going on? I'm telling you right now, listen carefully, God has got nothing to do with this. God has given us ammunition. God has given us a way to deal with the circumstances in life, no matter what comes our way. He knew things like this was going to come, so he taught us how to have faith. God is not testing you. He knows you love him. He doesn't have to test you. You're not Abraham where you have to offer up Isaac. The circumstances are testing your faith. Your faith is going through a fiery trial. Listen to what James says in James 1 and verse 2. My brothers and sisters, you will face all kinds of trouble. It's not a negative prophecy. It's the reality of living in an imperfect world. You will face all kinds of trouble. When you do, when you face the COVID-19 pandemic, when you do, think of it as pure joy. What? 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 Think of it as pure joy. Not the pandemic, but the victory that's coming. Because we will get through this in Jesus' name. If you don't think of it from the perspective of joy, you will think it from the perspective of fear and unbelief, and it will overpower you. Now watch verse 3. Your faith will be put to the test. Your faith is going to be tested. Every single person right now who has any kind of faith in the world is being tested by this. Your faith will be tested. You know that when that happens, it will produce in you the strength to continue. When your faith is tested, it will produce in you the strength to continue. Verse 4, the strength to keep going must be allowed to finish its work. You can't quit in the middle of the race. Then you will be all you should be, and you will have everything you need. There's going to be a positive outcome. This verse tells us there's going to be a positive outcome. If you don't surrender to fearful thoughts, there will be a positive outcome. Satan is painting pictures for you. Satan is giving you all kinds of thoughts and imaginations about the circumstances. Listen carefully. Understand this. Why is he doing it? Because he's trying to draw you out of the realm of faith and out of the realm of the spirit and leave you in the natural realm where you're dealing with circumstances. And if that happens, he will defeat you every single time. You will defeat Satan in the spirit realm and the realm of faith, but you will not defeat him in the natural realm. Try and take this on in the natural realm. If you're depending purely on a vaccine, you're in the natural realm. If you're depending on social distancing to keep you alive, you're in the natural realm. Listen to me. Don't get mad with me. Listen. It's your faith that's keeping you alive. It's your faith that you're speaking out of your family. It's your faith that you use every day that is keeping you protected. We use our faith over this church. We pray over this church. We speak those things over the church in the name of Jesus because we believe in the speaking the word of God and keeping you healthy and keeping you protected. But if all you're depending upon is a mask, well, that's a paper-thin solution. I know, I waited till now to say that, okay? Write this down. The place of your fear is the place of your failure. I say it again. The place of your fear is the place of your failure. If you're fearing this COVID-19 to the extent that you can't sleep at night, that you are sweating, that you're having panic attacks, I've got bad news for you. Because if you're in fear, you're not in faith, your faith can't work, and certainly failure is assured. See, When fear begins, faith ends, and failure is assured. When fear begins, faith ends, and failure is assured. Let me wrap it up with two scriptures. You thought I might have started with 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. I'm sure you'd have started with that. God has not given us a spirit of fear. I think Pastor Lindsay used that last week with the children. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Amen? But of love and of power and of a sound mind. And here's the verse I want you to focus on this week. Would you meditate? Get your homework out like the children get. I thought I would take a leaf out of Lindsay's book. Okay? Help you. Okay? Write this down. Memorize it. It's going to help you. Psalms 112 and verse 5. Good will come to him who is generous. Hallelujah. Good will come to him who is generous. You're going to get the payouts. You're going to get the increases at work. You're going to get the bonuses. You're going to get the supernatural debt cancellation. All of these things. Good will come to him who is generous and lends freely, who conducts his affairs with justice. Surely he will never be shaken. He will never be shaken. Right now, the whole world is being shaken. America's been shaken. But the generous will never be shaken. Now, listen carefully. It goes further. A righteous person will be remembered forever. Now, he's going to talk about the righteous. And here's the verse I want you to remember. Put in your heart. The righteous person, he will have no fear of bad news. Isn't that good? It doesn't matter what Dr. Fauci says. He's one man with one opinion. And I'm sad, very sad, that President Trump listened to him in the first place and shut everything down. I'm just telling you now. Because he's not the beginning and the end of this thing. All right? He doesn't have the answers to all these things. And his recommendations, I believe, have been wrong. Just telling you now. Okay, you don't have to agree with me, that's fine. Everybody's entitled to their opinion, and I'm giving you mine, it's free. The righteous will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Not trusting in some politician, not trusting in some medical condition, not trusting in some vaccine or anything else. His heart is trusting in the Lord. His heart is secure. He will have no fear. If you want no fear, put your heart and put your trust in the Lord. In the end, he will look in triumph on his foes, and he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be lifted high in honor. Amen. 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 All right. Now, we're going to pray for you. If you're at home, you have your family around you, take hold of hands. We're going to pray in the name of Jesus for you right now. Father, I believe that by the power of the Holy Spirit, these words have penetrated the hearts and the minds of the hearers. And they give me authority right now in the name of Jesus to bind the spirit of faith and spirit of fear that has been harassing them. And I believe, Lord, that they have received enough word today to release their faith, so that they can stop fearing and start believing and overcome that which has been dementing them and overwhelming them and driving them into darkness and despair and driving them into a place where it doesn't look like there's any hope for them. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Holy Spirit and angels of God, that right now you minister to your people wherever they are. In America or foreign lands, it doesn't matter. You're there with them. You said you'd never leave them nor forsake them. Grab a hold of their heart, Holy Spirit. Rise up big within them and let them know that they are victors, not victims. That they are free in Christ. They are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And they don't have to fear. Bind anything that's leading towards a panic attack in Jesus' name. And I release the peace of God to the hearers through the word of God right now in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.